Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and this is WNYC's Note to Self.
I have a question for you. I'm going to ramble a little bit.
The internet, by and large, drains me.
The show where you and I find balance in the digital age.
What is the one thing that I can do that we can do?
I just don't think people get it.
And figure out how to manage modern life. On this episode, we're debuting a segment that we're calling Question of Note. Every other week, you're going to get something a little shorter than the usual podcast. Here's the concept. We take a question from a listener, you, about the human side of digital life, and then we find the smartest person to answer it. And the idea is to give you, like, ideas what to do about the issue, not just learn about it. Fun, informative, but not flabby. That's the goal. Okay, so let's start.
So,
I'm just wondering.
What's the answer?
Keep asking questions.
Because I could use some help.
That
really is a question.
Hi, my name is James Bedell and I live in New York. On a recent weekend, I took a complete digital sabbatical, as in I locked my iPhone, iPad, and MacBook in a drawer and completely disconnected. It was glorious. I'm constantly torn between the speed and efficiency of digital tools and the quiet and relaxation of analog ones. So as a quiet person, how do you find quiet space to work and think in the digital era?
James, we get emails about this issue all the time, and I think that we have found the perfect person to talk it through.
Oh, yeah. So I'm Susan Cain, author of Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking. And
her latest project is something called The Quiet Revolution.
Should I be saying quietrev.com just so people know?
But you might know Susan Cain as the author of the best-selling book, Quiet, The Power of Introverts.
Yeah. So the idea is that a third to a half of the population is introverted. That's one out of every two or three people. And yet we live in a society that is telling everyone to be an extrovert. And so what that leads to is a colossal waste of energy and talent and ultimately happiness.
I think after reading your book, I really did realize that I am an introvert. Although I may appear extroverted to people, I need my downtime or else I can't be that extroverted person. And James's question really speaks to me because there are many of us who feel drained by our devices and by social media.
Yeah, that really is a question of how do you give yourself the breaks that you need and then have the discipline to enforce them. So, you know, you might want to say, okay, I know it's important to interact, whatever it is, with my Facebook followers, let's say, or go to attend this networking event or whatever. You know, it's okay to assign yourself those things to do. Make sure you do them. But you have to equally assign yourself the unplugging time and the restorative time.
And not seeing it, I guess, as like a weakness, but as part of being your most productive self.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, this whole idea of claiming solitude as being some kind of weakness is something we have got to absolutely just get rid of. Like, we've got to get rid of it completely. Solitude is one of our great superpowers, and it always has been. And artists have always said this. And when I've interviewed military leaders from General Stanley McChrystal to General Charles Krulak, who is the commandant of the U.S. Marine Corps, both of them introverts, by the way, you know, they've both told me that solitude is the key to being able to make effective decisions and then have the courage of your convictions to stand behind those decisions.
So we're talking to our friend James here and other listeners, and we're saying, yes, take the breaks that your mind, your body is telling you it needs. Don't feel guilty about them. If we go macro on that, what can we do as a society?
Yes, we need to really be building all of this into the culture of our schools, to the culture of our workplaces. I don't think it takes that much, actually. I think it just takes small tweaks, and they have to come from well-respected individuals within an organization. They've got to come from the leadership, really. Like, the leadership has to send the signal. Yes, you should all be taking walks during the day and getting time to yourselves. Not for the sake of being trendy, like, yeah, let's all embrace mindfulness, but really just giving people the space that they need. And I think, by the way, like, from a business point of view, a lot of this has to do with embracing more of a results-oriented workplace where everybody's just focused on, are we delivering good work or not? And you end up finding you get the best results when people feel the freedom to get away and put their head down and work for 4 hours without being interrupted. And if they have a door to their office, it's socially acceptable to close the door without being seen as unfriendly. But I'll tell you another thing I was thinking, though. You know, a lot of it is coming up with kind of negotiating an agreement with yourself. You know, maybe that agreement is, I'm picking the social media platform that I most enjoy, and that's the one I'm going to do. And I'll do that for, pick a number, 45 minutes a day, and other than that, no. You know, so it's basically setting boundaries and not having too much fear of missing out on the stuff that you're not going to do.
Yeah, and I guess for me, it was a realization that if I spend my time doing that, and maybe I will enjoy it,
yeah,
but it means that I won't have the energy for other things that I need to do that require me to be extroverted.
Yes.
Whether that's being lively at drinks after work or going out to dinner with my husband or running a meeting, that I have a finite amount of that extroverted energy. And if I decide to spend that capital on the internet or in social media, that's fine. But just to be clear, I'm not going to have it later. So I need to prioritize, I guess.
I think until recently, we have tended to think that the solutions for tech overload must be technological in nature, but really the solutions are emotional and psychological, and they have to do at their core with self-awareness.
Thank you so much.
Thank
this
you.
This was such a pleasure. I'm so glad we finally made this happen.
Me too.
Okay, James, and you other listeners out there feeling the push and pull of social media and being constantly on in an online world, I really hope this discussion helps the next time that you feel torn. And just remember, to be your best extroverted self online, you need to feed your introvert, and that's okay. If you've got a question of note or some other ideas on how to find quiet in our noisy blah, blah, blah world, write us an email, or better yet, record a voice memo with your smartphone and email it to us at note2self@wnyc.org. I would love to hear them. And hey, send this episode to the introvert in your life. You might make him or her feel a whole lot better too, right? Be ironic. Tag us and them on Facebook or tweet at us at note2self. We're back next week with a full podcast. It's about the regular people who are determined to go to space, even after a fatal setback.
Going to space will always be a risky endeavor. We all know about the dangers, but we're willing to take those dangers. We feel it's worth it, and we push forward.
How commercial flights to space may work in the future, and an update on the average Joes who are signed up to go first, despite disaster. This is a show that will change the way you think about planet Earth. I guarantee it. Hit subscribe to make sure you get Note to Self next week and join us for this ride with just your headphones. Meanwhile, thanks so much for listening to our first Question of Note segment. I'm Anoush Zamarodi, and I'll talk to you soon.